Okay, there we go, everyone. Good morning. Hope you're all keeping well. Good to have you with us as always. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session for Wednesday, the 26th of March. We've got a few interesting bits of news coming down the tracks, which we'll discuss in just a moment. I suppose we're making mild progress with our trades so far this week. We've still got significant upside, and we're kind of slow in getting there, but all things considered, we're probably still in the right trades going in the right direction, which is probably the only bit of good news so far. A couple of areas of concern, of course, there always seems to be that level of concern, and the whole idea of this session, as you know, is to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So let's get into it then. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Please take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. So all profitable trades need to consider which markets to trade, where we then enter and exit these markets. How do we manage risk, of course, trade management along with trade psychology. They all play a very, very important role when it comes to trading financial markets. It's not just, for example, just strategy, for example. Now, we address these considerations every day in our live trading, as you know. We're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. So let's have a quick look then at potential market moving news. So yesterday was an interesting one because we're continuing to see this US data continue to show signs of concern, let's say. So from Monday's session, we saw manufacturing PMI numbers come in, actually show signs of contraction, and a bit of a reversal really on the previous 52.7 coming in at 49.8. So a negative figure on that. We've seen some growth on the services side. So I suppose one can very much go and move to offset the others. The S&P composite, the house price index year on year is slightly elevated for the US economy. We've got the Richmond Manufacturing Index, more regional index. So that's showing a little bit of kind of further weakness. We're in sort of negative territory after a bit of a bounce in the previous month's numbers. However, it's quite a volatile indicator. So one of the more concerning elements behind the news events yesterday was more around the consumer confidence level, which has taken a bit of a hit. So previously we were around 100. We're on a decline, of course, just with I suppose the way things are playing out in the US. And we got our forecast is 94.2, and we actually saw worse than that, which is 92.9. So let's see the last time in which we had these numbers around the early 90s. So we've been declining really from last November, where we're at 111, 104, 104, 98, 92. So I suppose the natural question is, well, for how long will this be? Consumer confidence in the US be dwindled away, and what levels would we actually get down to? So the last time we were at the low 90s, you can see we've been considerably higher for most of the last 2 years. So 95.7, which was July. Let's see if we get even lower than that, somewhere around the 92. Yeah, 91, 92. So February of 2021. So in the thick of COVID was the last time consumer confidence was as low as it is right now. Now, a lot of geopolitical wranglings. You've got Donald Trump with his tariffs, you've got Elon Musk with his Doge, and a series of job losses as well. So all of that really feeds into this fearful narrative. But as we keep saying, when it comes to data out of the US, we've got a lot of softening. A lot of the softer data is really worsening almost. And this is a really good example where you've got consumer confidence numbers actually looking really quite negative. But it's really until we see this data begin to show up on the hard data in terms of GDP, inflation, job numbers, central bank monetary policy, unless we see a reaction or we see this data begin to come through in those, and people will say, yes, there is obviously a delay, and that very well may be the case, but we really don't want to be making the assumptions that the data is going to weaken if we still currently have really quite strong data. And a good example of that is actually Thursday's US GDP numbers, which are quite strong. If you extrapolate out and you look at the strength of the US economy, it doesn't look much, but you know, we're between 2 and 3%. And this is another 2.3. So this is the final GDP number. We've got three different GDP numbers per quarter. And this is the final number. So we'll see if there's a deviation on that number, but normally it does come in pretty close with expectations, maybe a little bit up, a little bit down, but that's still a strong jobs number. So, and then if you look at the unemployment numbers, they're really quite strong. So anything around 220,000 unemployment claims in the US is pretty low, broadly speaking. When you get up to 250, 260, 270, that's when the alarm bells will start to ring. So I suppose the question we ask ourselves is, at what point will the hard data, the most important data points in the US, at what point will they start to weaken? Because we would suggest that that would be the significant shift for these markets once that weaker data begins to really get bad. Now, a lot of the underlying data is already showing signs of weakness, but it's underlying for a reason because of its broad interpretation. It's very regionalized, very concentrated on a very specific area and element. Whereas for now, if we look at the US economy, although Donald Trump seems to be doing as much as he can to really, I don't know, break things up, we may see him row back quite considerably on his tariff policy. We may get a tax cut coming down the tracks in the next 6 to 12 months. And all of a sudden, this sort of turbulent, choppy period may very well be forgotten. So look, we kind of have to trade these markets as they unfold. So that's a little bit about market fundamentals and kind of how we're positioning ourselves. And you'll see from the trades we were able to get into yesterday and towards the end of last week, we've identified the potential for this little short-term bounce in equity markets. And it looks like we're just beginning to make some progress with those trades. So although some of the softer data is getting worse and it's continuing to get worse, the hard data is still pretty good. So you don't get a recession until the numbers start to weaken or potentially weaken towards a recession. So apart from that, it's just a lot of talk. So we'd rather track the data rather than track sentiment or necessarily track the, go on the advice of others or our analysis to suggest that we're in recession and it's, oh my God, it's panic time. Well, it's not. The data is really good. So you've got to try and trade with that in mind. Okay, so that's a little bit of a breakdown of the market fundamentals, and they're the overriding drivers of these markets. A lot of indecision, of course, around Trump and his policy around tariffs, and we shall see how that continues to play out. Okay, so yesterday we were able to get in. So this is let's have a quick look at risk sentiment. So what we can say about this market is we've been rallying from bottom left to top right. So actually, we've been talking about this rebound in sentiment for a little while. We actually got that breakout on Monday. We gapped higher and then rallied. And we're continuing to make very slow progress to the upside, as you can see. So sentiment is still on the positive side, irrespective of the negative news. So you've got this type of move, and we're up at these sort of high levels. So if we take out these highs, which is very, very likely, we're probably rallying up to 5,800. So we're already in this trade. We're in the right market, potentially in the right direction. So from a technical perspective, we just zoom in, looking at this on the daily time frame. It's the same type of analysis you'll see across the other equity markets. We were markets sold off very, very aggressively for about 3-4 weeks. And then we've bottomed out last week pretty much. And now we're actually seeing a bit of a bounce back. So where would we expect this market to rally to? Well, probably in and around 5,900. Now, I'm not saying we're gonna hold on to this trade until we get there, but if we continue to make higher highs and we get a bit of further momentum, then we shall certainly look for further upside. And that's pretty much where we're at as we look at these markets. So this is yesterday's high. So what we do is we put in another sort of level in here. So these markets make floors and ceilings, and we keep breaking these levels to the upside. And we're currently breaking even as far as the S&P 500 is concerned. We've not really done an awful lot since we got into the trade yesterday around this sort of breakout point. In fact, we're at exactly the same price that we were at yesterday when we entered. So the opportunity is still there to try and take advantage of that trade. Now, where we have made a bit of progress, as you can see, is in the NASDAQ. And all of these trades, these two industry trades, are very much supported by Mag 7, the Magnificent 7, the analysis around them. And you'll see very, very similar price action in many of the Mag 7 markets. So we're talking about Apple, Meta, Google, Amazon, all the big Mag 7. Tesla even had a bit of a bounce in the last few days. So we're seeing similar price action, and it's really the micro leading the macro to a large degree. So we get a bounce in the Mag 7, we're more likely to get a positive bounce and reaction in the industry markets. And there is a little bit more upside to potentially grapple with. And on the daily time frame for the S&P 500, we're now back above the 200 daily period moving average. So technically, we do want to break these highs, and then we want to rally up to the previously monthly lows with a view of the 5,900 is in sight. Now, we probably do need a significant amount of further sentiment. We need Donald Trump probably to continue to row back on his reciprocal tariffs and April the 2nd, which I think is next Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. So you can see the rally. We're comfortable sitting in the NASDAQ, for example. Similar sort of pullback really across the board. We just haven't really done much with the NASDAQ, with the Dow Jones over the last 24, 30 hours. So the buyers were back above the 200 daily period moving average, and we're still, for now, we have more upside. So let's see if we can extrapolate that out across all of the industry markets globally. So if you look at the Japanese Nikkei, we've really pulled back into strong resistance. So the question is, could we roll over eventually? We've probably got a little bit more short-term upside. If we look at the German DAX, this is giving us a bit of a bounce opportunity. We've still got good positive dynamics out in the Eurozone. So this will be an opportunity above the 23,186. So let me take note of that. 23,186. And that's the DAX. So we can certainly look to add. And we're currently at that price now. And last market there is just the CAC. The CAC 40. So you'd have to say above the 81.41, we can probably expect a little bit more upside in markets like the CAC. So what we'll do is we're already in the S&P and the NASDAQ, and we're going to see if we can perhaps add something like the German DAX to that discussion. So elsewhere, let's have a look at the dollar. So we've been pulling back quite aggressively. We keep bouncing off this upper trend line. Now we've created a significant bottom down here at the 107.76 and really struggling to break below it. So really, if these prices break below, then we'd be looking to buy the euro dollar at lower prices. If we start to rally around these kind of lows, our expectation would be that we'd be looking to see if we get a little bit of a rally in markets like the euro dollar. So what we're looking for is that little bounce, something like a bit of a structural failure trade. And then we're looking for, like we saw in here when this market rallied up, it failed to make a new high, and then we actually got the move to the downside. So it's a reverse situation in favor of weakness, dollar weakness, with a bit of mild European strength. So the pound is probably worth taking a little bit of a step back from, because we've got Rachel Reeves and UK budget. You've got to try to make efforts to balance the book. There's a lot of sort of finger pointing going on. Looking more so at the US for some of the issues and problems that the US and the UK economy is currently dealing with. It's going to be really interesting today to see how the UK gilt market is very likely to react to this event. So we'll be broadcasting live this afternoon, and we'll be able to see, you know, the statement from Rachel Reeves, some of the finer details. You know, there's a lot of rumours, and most importantly, we'd be looking very, very carefully at the pound and seeing if there is actually some significant opportunity to get into the pound, and we just need, I suppose, confirmation to do so. So, for example, Kwasi Kwarteng's and Liz Truss's devastating budget from a couple of years ago, and we saw the bond vigilantes come out in force, and we saw a massive move in markets like the pound, and this was pretty much that fateful period where we were down kind of 120 to 125, and you know, the wheels came off really down to 102, 103. So that's a sizable. Since then, we've been on a bit of a positive rally. We're back inside, loosely back inside this little range, with a view of potential further upside there. So the pound is going to be a standalone market for us. Bit of strength against the yen currently. We are looking for opportunities to get into this yen strength trade. So, for example, if there is strong weakness in the pound, we'd be looking for potentially the pound yen could be a good target for us. So the dollar Swiss then, looking to bounce off these lows, the dollar Swiss, let's see if the dollar can actually break above those highs. Dollar CAD, there's a bit of a strong structural failure trade to the downside now, but look, we're very choppy price action, all moving sideways. So the Aussie dollar was a trade that we were very comfortable getting into. If we break these recent highs, we'd expect further upside at that point, and we start mitigating risk on those trades. New Zealand dollar, potential buying opportunity above the 57.50 level. Let's have a little look at that one. 57.50. Okay, so, and that brings us full circle, really. Let's have a look at crude oil. So, we were suggesting yesterday that we'd be looking for this market to rally into $70, and then we'd be looking for a bit of a sell trade. Now, that is still very loosely setting up, but it's not a great opportunity. And our bias, just broadly, it's kind of reinforcing our dollar trades to a certain degree. So, when this rallies, you're talking about dollar weakness, and then we could look at markets like the New Zealand dollar, see if we can add that. So So we've got a bit of a trade plan for the day. So let's put this into our chat box, our trade plan for the day. So market summary. Mixed market summary. Yeah, not much movement out, bond yields. The markets are still waiting very, very patiently for Donald Trump, and he could come. So we just need to be a little bit more on the conservative side. So potential further indice strength, yes. What I'll do is in here, I'll just put in the DAX by above 23,186 euro level. So that's the DAX. So potential dollar weakness post current pullback. We're still looking for that opportunity. So let's put this in here. So New Zealand dollar looking to buy. So this is a select opportunity at the 57.50 level. So that potential dollar weakness trade could play out against the euro dollar. At some point, we're just getting lower and lower and lower first. Let's kind of remove crude oil for now. We keep an eye on it. It's not like we're looking to sell the highs at the $70 level. We're looking for an opportunity to start selling. We're not too sure what that opportunity will kind of play out like. And I think keeping options open is not a bad tactic. So look, we're looking for further indice strength. We're looking for potential dollar weakness. And if so, we've got the DAX, we've got the New Zealand dollar. And we can take a bit of a wide berth as far as the commodities are concerned. All right, you guys, so listen, thanks very much for joining us. I've just posted a trade plan there into the chat box for you. So you can keep tabs in terms of what we're focusing our attention on. So we've broad mixed markets, and that just means, you know, trade frequency, a little bit more controlled, which is what this trade plan is, and also more targeted, looking at very specific opportunities in the DAX and the New Zealand dollar, maybe the euro dollar as well. So looking to sort of build that opportunity out. We're probably a little bit more on the positive Trump, you know, positive tech rally again, maybe leaning more to a bit of a dovish Fed. So we're certainly on this side of the dynamic for now. Okay, so this, on that note, guys, thanks very much for joining us. We'll switch rooms now for those of you that want to join us for the European live trade room, and we'll see you there momentarily. Right, great stuff, everyone. Listen, thanks for joining us as always. Take care of yourselves. Speak to you soon. Bye for now.